Well, dear friends, greetings to you in the name of our Lord Jesus, and Happy New Year once again to all of you. Let's get right into it today. There are a number of things about this particular Sunday that make it stand out. One, it's the first Sunday, as you know, in a new year. There's something about a new year that gives us all an opportunity to look back on where we've been and to look forward to what the months ahead might bring. I want us to do a bit of that here this morning. Two, it's the first Sunday, as we mentioned at the beginning of our service today, following our congregation-wide 40 days of prayer. From the Sunday prior to Thanksgiving to this past Thursday on New Year's Day, we've been challenging ourselves to be praying each day for God's guidance in our lives individually and for His guidance for us as a congregation. We're going to be doing something a bit different here today as a result, and I'll say more about that in a few moments. Third, it's the Sunday just prior to a day in which we celebrate what's called the Epiphany. An Epiphany is when something is seen or revealed for the first time. Something we never saw before that we now see. Something we never knew or understood, but that we now do. Our reading today was the story of the wise men who came to know and to see and understand who Jesus is and what God has done for us in His Son. We'll be using that story to see if there might be an epiphany here today awaiting us. And fourth, it's a Sunday in which I honestly don't know what's going to happen. I mean, what it will mean when it's over, where it might lead, and what will follow in the future as a result. By the time we're finished today, and again in the same way next week, we'll each be given an opportunity to put down on paper what we believe God has been telling us about our own lives, our own faith walk, and what He wants us to be doing as a congregation. And then we're going to be taking what you've written and collectively sitting down and figuring out what it might mean. The title for our message today is Following God's Star. Following God's Star. It comes obviously from that story of the wise men who did exactly that. They followed God's star. They followed the star God had given. And when they did, they had an epiphany. They came to see and to know and to understand something they had never been able to before. Now, we don't know much about them, those wise men. They were well-educated, most likely. Maybe scientists, maybe astronomers. Maybe they studied many different things. We really don't know. What we know is what they did. What we know is that they is the one they found. And what we know is that these wise men were wise. One of the wisest men I ever knew was my grandfather, my dad's dad. He was a wise man. He knew a lot. Now, he never went too far in school. If I remember right, he graduated from high school, did a little studying beyond that, maybe a bit of training. He ended up working for Standard Oil. He was involved in city government. He had no college, no seminary, no academic degrees following his name, but he was a wise man. He understood life. He understood what matters in life. Now, let me ask you a question. You know the story. It's very familiar. We just read it. The wise men followed the star. It led them to Bethlehem. They didn't know where it would lead, but they followed. They didn't know what they might find or what it might mean for their lives, but they kept on searching until they found, and then they knew. Let me ask you, what is it, do you think, that made these wise men wise? Why is it, do you think, that 2,000 years later, that's how they are still remembered? Were they wise because of what they knew? Because of what they'd learned? Or were they wise because of what they did? How they applied what they had learned in their lives? You know, I've known many learned men over the years, many well-educated women. They were all smart. They all knew what they were doing. But not all of them were wise. Not all of them were wise. Not all of them understood life. What is it that makes a person wise? What is it that makes us wise? 40 days of prayer. That's what we've just finished. We've been praying for 40 days, asking for God's guidance. God, what do you want me to do? Lord, where do you want me to go? What is it you want for my life? What is it you want for our life? For 40 days, that's been our prayer. A new year, a new start, 2015, a chance to make a difference. God, what do you want us to do in this place at this time? Later in our worship, during our prayer time, that's what we're going to be doing. During that time of prayer, we're going to be giving you time to write down what you've heard. On one of the inserts in the bulletin today, there's a place to write down what you believe God has been telling you about your own life and what he's been telling you about our shared life. There's a place for both. Now, I have no idea what he's been saying to you. I mean, I really don't. What's happened in those prayer conversations you've had with God are between you and God. You have no idea what he's been telling me, what I believe I've heard as a result of the time I've spent. And I don't even know if what I've heard is exactly what God wants me to hear. Sometimes we don't know until we test it out. What I do know is that praying to God for 40 days in itself is not necessarily a wise thing to do. Maybe that surprised you to hear it, but that's true. Those 40 days of prayer on their own are good. It's always a good thing to pray. Don't mishear what we're saying. It's never a bad thing to pray. But those 40 days of prayer in themselves don't on their own make us any wiser than we were before they began. Praying to God without doing anything beyond that in response doesn't make a person wise. What makes a person wise, what makes us wise, and how prayer works, is that we take what we've heard, take what God's been saying, and pay attention. It's our response to God's response that makes a difference. It's what we do with what God is doing and what he's telling us that makes us wise. That's the story Jesus told about the man who built his house on the rock, in contrast to the one who built his house on the sand. You remember, when the rains came, the winds blew, the house on the rock stood strong while the house on the sand fell apart. Do you remember what Jesus said? He said, it's the ones who hear his words and put them into practice who are the wise ones in life. It's the ones who take what they've heard and respond to it, apply it in what they're doing, whose houses will withstand the storms. Now, Jesus in that story was talking about his word, about what God has said to us in the Bible. That's what the story was all about. But the same thing applies to prayer. The same thing applies to our 40 days of prayer. If all we do is pray for 40 days, ask for God's guidance, and then fail to apply what we've heard, we're fools. 2015, Jesus says, will be no different than it would have been had we not prayed. But if we pray and we listen, and then we apply what we've heard, who knows what might lie ahead and where God might choose to lead. Now, I don't know what lies ahead and where God is leading. Probably not any more than you do. What I do know is that God knows what lies ahead. And what I do know is that you and I have been called to follow wherever he leads. That's what the wise men did. They saw the star and they followed. They saw the star and it led them to where God wanted them to go. That's what we're going to be doing. We'll each have a chance during our prayer time to write down on that prayer insert what we've been praying about and what we've heard. We'll give you a time to write down some of your thoughts. What we want to hear when you do that is what God has been saying, what he's been telling you. And maybe there's nothing, and so maybe you say, I've been praying and that's all I've done. I've prayed and I'm still waiting for God to respond. That's fine. That's fine, then write that down. What we don't want to hear is what you think we need to do, what you'd like to tell God about this place. Now, maybe they're the same. Maybe they're different. It doesn't matter. Either way, what we want to hear for you to write down is God's voice and not yours. What we're going to do with you, with what you write down are two things. One, we're going to be passing them on to our leaders and staff and compiling what you write. To pray and to not listen, as we've said, is foolish. To pray and to respond is wise. We're going to be taking what you write down and figuring out what we hope and believe will be an appropriate response. The other thing we're going to do is with what you write down is to put on display what each of you has written. Next week, there'll be a place for your responses to be visible, for anyone who wants to read and see to come up and read and see. So if you want your response to be confidential, then don't put your name on that paper. If you do or you don't care, then go ahead. Either way is fine. Now, you know what's often struck me in this story about the wise men that we read? What fascinates me every time we read it? It's a fact that these wise men could not have been the only ones to see that star. I mean, hundreds of thousands of people, it was up in the sky, must have seen the star as well. But nothing happened. They didn't do anything. They saw the star, knew that it was new, but nothing changed. Same thing can happen in the church. Same thing can happen in your life. This is the first Sunday in the new year, a day when we remember the epiphany that led the wise men to Christ. Now, why do you think it is that we come together every week? Why do you think it is that we spend time in this place every Sunday as we do? Is it simply to learn and to become smart and to be able to answer any Bible-based question that comes up? Or is there a deeper reason, a more foundational reason, a more life-changing reason that God speaks to us as he does? We could talk all day about why we are here, why it's important to come together every week. The list of reasons for our life together as a church is as long as the history the years of our history as a church. We could spend all day. But if we fail to listen to what God says, to take what we learn and apply it, Jesus says we'd be fools. Jesus says we'd fail to be wise. Let me close today with a story of something that actually happened a few years back, and then hold up for each of us a New Year's challenge. First, the story. A few years back, the Air Force built a sophisticated unmanned jet called the Global Hawk. Maybe you remember it. With no pilot aboard, this plane could fly for more than a day, scour terrain, and relay video to a ground station up to 3,000 miles away. It was an incredible jet. A few years back, one of these planes was destroyed in a freak accident. It didn't crash into a mountain. It didn't run out of fuel or have one of its parts malfunction. Instead, it simply committed suicide. It shut its engines down, erased classified materials, set its flaps into a death spiral, and smashed at 400 miles per hour into the desert. Here's what happened. More than 100 miles away, a team of Air Force personnel were testing a second unmanned Global Hawk jet. At some time in this test, the team told this second plane to terminate its flight. Unfortunately, the first plane overheard this signal from more than 100 miles away and thought it was being ordered to terminate its flight. And so it did. A $45 million plane was lost because it listened to the wrong voice. There are many journeys we can take in this life, many voices we can listen to, many stars that we can follow. But only one leads to life. Only one leads to a place that is wise. So here's the challenge. I want to challenge you today in this new year to set out on a journey in these next 12 months that is led by God. Set on a journey where you are no longer the one in control. Go deep into your faith. Join a Bible study. Spend more time in prayer. Focus more intently in this coming year on trying to know and understand what God wants for your life. Whatever it takes, it doesn't matter. You decide. But don't just decide. Do it. Put it into practice. Pay attention. Don't be a fool. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your guidance in our lives, for the way in which you lead us in life and respond to our prayers. Help us in this coming year to listen for your voice, to pay attention to what you are saying, and then to take what we hear and what you say and apply it. Thanks for this new year, for hearing our prayers, for the guidance you give. In Jesus' name, amen.